But no sooner had he arrived than he disappeared. He was confronted with another worldview that challenged his shallow beliefs, and like a passing yo-yo fad or footy card fad, he quickly gone as fast as he had arrived. He dropped his faith as quickly as he picked it up. I wonder whether you've had that experience for yourself. It might be a friend, a family member, or someone from work, a uni mate. If you've ever been involved in youth ministry, I'm sure you would have seen and experienced that as well. Of course, when that happens, it's confusing because you wonder whether that person had a faith at all. It's also disappointing because of the time and energy that you've invested in that relationship with that person, trying to encourage them in their walk with Jesus. And it's also disheartening because you wonder, well, is God actually going to grow his kingdom? When you constantly see people respond and then seemingly fall away. Well, this is what Jesus encountered all the time when he was teaching and preaching about the kingdom of heaven. And he knew that this is what the disciples would encounter as they took up the baton and continued proclaiming the gospel after Jesus had returned to his heavenly Father. And so Jesus tells this parable of the sower to help give understanding and comfort to his disciples and to us today as we see people respond differently to the gospel. But the parable of the sower not only gives us comfort and understanding, but it also assures us that despite the different ways people respond, God's kingdom will continue to grow, that it will advance despite those who seemingly reject it. So that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. How about I pray for us that God would help us understand these things, and then we'll have a closer look at Matthew this morning. Father, we pray that you'd be with us as we unpack this gospel. Please give us ears to hear. Help us to understand, to respond well to your word and to everything that you have to say to us, that we might produce in our lives fruit that is evident of your work in us and the gospel advancing, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're new with us or you haven't been with us in a while, we're looking at Matthew chapter 11 through to 13 over these last few weeks. As we've been looking at Matthew 11 and 12, the chapter of Matthew's gospel, we've seen Jesus is teaching and preaching in and around the towns of Galilee. That's up in the north of Israel. And as he's been teaching and preaching, we've discovered that there's been this growing opposition to Jesus' ministry. And there's been, particularly from the religious leaders and the teachers of the law and the Pharisees, and there's increasing uncertainty about Jesus from the people. And the reason is they're having doubts about, or many of them don't like what Jesus is teaching, preaching, and that doesn't fit in their expectations of the coming of the Messiah, the Christ, God's chosen King. Well, in chapter 13, we get to this block of teaching by Jesus, and Matthew tells us at the start of chapter 13 that Jesus taught many parables to the crowd there. Now, a parable is a made-up story. It's not a real story. It's if you put your English high school English hat on, it's a metaphor or an illustration or an extended story that Jesus uses to teach about the kingdom of heaven and what it means to be a disciple of Jesus seeking to be part of the kingdom of heaven. And this morning, and Matthew in chapter 13, he bundles together seven parables of Jesus in this chapter. This morning, we're going to be looking at the first and the longest of these parables, the parable of the sower. And as we look at it, and you see roughly on your outline there, under two headings, responses to the word and the divisiveness of the word. So two key themes coming up this morning, the responses to the word and the divisiveness of the word. Well, let's have a look at the responses to the word of Jesus.
You see there, verses 3 to 9,
Jesus tells the parable of the sower to the crowd as they're listening on the banks of the lake there. But it's only later in verses 18 to 23 that Jesus unpacks what the parable means. The key to understanding the parable is there in verse 19. Jesus says that the word or the seed that's being sown by the sower is the message of the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven that Jesus has been teaching and proclaiming around Galilee and in his excursions down to Jerusalem. So the seed is the word of God. It's the gospel. It's the good news message that Jesus is teaching and proclaiming. And Jesus is the sower. He's the one scattering the word of God among the people, and the various soils are different people and the way they respond in different ways to that message about the kingdom that Jesus is proclaiming. And what we're going to see this morning is that the kingdom of heaven grows as the word of God is scattered widely and broadly, and yet it was received in different ways. The kingdom of heaven grows through the widespread scattering of the seed, and it generates different responses from the people. So the kingdom of heaven doesn't grow or advance through suicide bombings. It doesn't advance through political lobbying. It doesn't advance through clever marketing or philosophical debate or clever reasoning. You don't need a PhD in Christian apologetics to advance the kingdom of heaven. No, the kingdom of heaven grows through the widespread scattering of the word that generates different responses. Well, let's have a look at the various soils that the seed lands on. The first there is the seed lands on the path. The path is hard, it's trodden, and therefore the seed is unable to penetrate in deeply, and therefore it's easy for the birds to come down and eat it up, and before it has a chance to be ploughed in. And in verse 19, Jesus explains that this type of soil is like the person who responds with hard-hearted disbelief. The word of God is unable to penetrate deep into their hearts, like the seed is unable to penetrate into the ground. Now, the people there, they don't understand it. They don't want to understand it. And so Satan comes and snatches away the word before it has a chance to penetrate and grow. These people are like the Pharisees and the teachers of the law that have been hearing about the kingdom as Jesus has been teaching this whole time. And yet they are in opposition to Jesus in his ministry. They're against him. They're challenging his authority. They're plotting to kill him. They're accusing him of being an agent of Satan because he cast out demons. And you might have come across this type of person. It might be a friend. It might be a school buddy. It could be a work colleague or a family member. And you've talked to them about Jesus and you've invited them to church. You might have given them a book or a sermon to listen to, and yet they just reject it. They think it's nonsense. They don't believe it. They're not interested. But friends, don't be discouraged. Because this is how the kingdom grows. Widespread scattering of the seed, but it generates different responses. The second soil is there in verse 5 to 6. This is the rocky or the shallow soil. Here the plant springs up quickly, but it's because the soil is very shallow, the plant is unable to develop roots. And so the sun scorches the plant and it withers and dies. And Jesus explains, as you look down at verse 21 and 20-21, that these are like the people who respond with initial zeal and enthusiasm to the word of God, but later they fall away. They hear the word of God, they respond with excitement, but almost straight away their faith withers under the heat of persecution or hardship that they encounter because of their faith. This type of seed you would expect, it looks impressive to start with, but it just quickly goes as quick as it's gone. It's sprouted up. These type of people say that they believe in Jesus, they believe in his message, but when they get mocked, they drop it. They're like the zealous crowd in the Gospels and the clamouring sick. They come to Jesus, they're excited to hear about him, but as soon as they understand what it means to be a follower of Jesus, well, they dissipate and they're gone. The third soil we see there in verse 7 is mixed with weeds and thorns. As the plant grows, the weeds grow up and the thorns grow up and they choke it so the plant doesn't bear any grain. And in verse 22, Jesus explains that these people are the people who hear the word of God, but they let the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke out the word of God so that they don't bear any fruit in their life. They don't bear a crop. These people they don't want to let go of the worries of the world, and as a result, the gospel's choked out. And eventually, it becomes clear that these people were never a Christian. They never followed Jesus in the first place. Friends, it's like the person who comes to church or youth group each week. They say they're a Christian. They say that all the things that make it seem like they're a follower of Jesus. They hear the word of God being read and explained, but it's just not impacting their life. There's no change. They're more concerned with comfort or happiness or money. They're distracted by their career or their business or their lifestyle, or their kids, or their relationship. They're more committed to their hobby than they are to Jesus. And as a result, the Word of God is just squeezed out of their life. In our backyard, we've got this fabulous Tipitina tree. It looks something like this. It's flowering at the moment. It looks beautiful. And a couple of years ago, I noticed there was a section in the tree that wasn't producing any flowers, and the leaves had all fallen off, and it looked pretty dead. And when I looked closely, there was this large vine had wound its way around the branches of this section of the tree. It was basically killing the tree. And I hadn't noticed it to start with because it obviously had started small, but now it was big and it was really killing the tree. And I was left with two choices: either leave it, let it go unchecked and let the tree die, or cut out the vine, cut out the weed, and so that the tree could flourish and flower. And friends, that's what it's like with the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth in our life. The superannuation, the gym, the bike, the acceptance by others, the extension, the holiday, the school fees, the school grades, the mortgage, the social life, the career. They start small, they start insignificantly in our life, so small that we don't understand the impact or see the impact that it's having, but slowly but surely, left unchecked, it winds its way around our life and chokes out the Word of God. That means you don't bear any fruit for the gospel in your life. And like my tree, you can either ignore the weeds, allow them to grow and destroy your Christian life, or you cut them out and you start bearing fruit for Jesus. Now, let me just say to those here who are thinking about dating or dating in the future, one of the killer weeds is when you date someone who doesn't follow Jesus. Initially, it looks unimportant, doesn't matter, looks unthreatening. And the relationship doesn't seem to impact on your Christian walk. But just like the weed, it starts small, it grows, and eventually it chokes the life out of the plant. And when you're dating someone who's not following Jesus, then more often than not, that relationship will choke your faith to death. Because you're in a relationship where there's tension, where you have a worldview that's different to their worldview, and so you're distracted trying to please them, and in the end it's just easier to keep the relationship happy and stay with them and drop Jesus. Don't let that weed choke your faith. It's no surprise that Jesus makes special reference here to the distraction that money causes around the effectiveness of God's word. Because it's so easy to be caught up in our work or our savings or our mortgage or our investments as we seek after a lifestyle or a house or a retirement that we want. And as a result, we become too tired or too busy or too focused or too selfish to allow the gospel to penetrate in and do the transforming change that it ought to in our life. And you notice here how Jesus refers to it as the deceit of wealth. It is subtle, because that's what it's like in our culture. We get this message constantly to us, saying to us that lifestyle's important, money's important. We hear it time and time again, and it just creeps in, and eventually it kills our faith. It's like the fable of the frog in the water. You know, the frog that jumps into the water. The pot is on the stove. Initially, the frog's swimming around, thinking, "This is lovely. I'm having a nice swim." Doesn't know that the pot is on the heat. And he could jump out initially, but what he doesn't realise is it's getting hotter and will soon boil, and the temperature just increases slowly and slowly and slowly until it's too late and he boils to death. And that's what's like in our culture. Often we're just oblivious to what's going on around us. And money is one of those things where it's the deceitfulness of wealth will choke out our faith. And other killer weeds that we face in our culture today are comfort and happiness. If your motto in life is, "I don't want much as long as I'm comfortable," or if your motto is, "I just want my kids to be happy," friends, if you find yourself saying those things or thinking those things, then there's a weed choking out your faith. Because if you're more committed to being comfortable in life, if you're more committed to your kids being happy than to being a disciple of Jesus, then rather than going to church on Sundays, what are you going to do? You're going to sleep in, You go if you feel like it. You take the kids to Sunday sport or the parties. You won't be here with God's people, hearing the word of God. Rather than being generous with your money towards God and his kingdom, what do you do with it? Well, you use it for yourself, for your holiday, for your gadgets, for whatever. Friends, are you just plodding along, coming to church, hearing the gospel, but letting distractions of life squeeze your faith and your life to death? Are there things in your life that are choking the life out of your faith? Do you look at your life and realize it's not bearing a crop for Jesus and the kingdom? Friends, if that's you, get rid of those weeds that are choking your faith. Because as Jesus said in chapter 7 of Matthew's gospel, those branches that don't bear fruit are cut off and thrown into the fire. The fourth soil that Jesus speaks about in verse 8 is the good soil. The seed that fell on the good soil, it takes root, it grew up, it produces a massive crop that any grain baron from Dubbo would be more than happy about. And Jesus explains in verse 23, this is the good soil. The good soil is one who hears the word of God and allows it to penetrate in deep and take root in their lives so that the word of God grows up, grows in them, and produces a crop. It transforms their life. And this person welcomes the word of God, obeys the word of God, and as a result, their life is changed. God's word brings transformation to their life, to their deeds, to their thoughts and speech and actions that is pleasing to God. This person lets the word of God determine how they use their money, how they prioritize their time, how they speak to their spouse and their children, how they model their faith to their children and their work colleagues and their friends, how they deal with their sexual desires. They live lives that bear fruit for the gospel. Fruit that is pleasing for God and glorifies him. Now, Jesus' point in this parable is that the kingdom of heaven grows through the widespread scattering of the word of God, but it generates different responses. And as the word of God is scattered, some will reject it, some are interested and quickly fall away, some will hear it but be distracted and by the things of this world, but others will hear it, obey it, let it take root, and accept it. And of course, as we hear Jesus teach this parable to the disciples, we can't but help ask ourselves, how am I responding to the word of God? How am I responding to the word of Jesus? Are you rejecting the gospel? Are you allowing the worries of the world, the deceitfulness of wealth, to choke the word? Or are you allowing it to develop deep roots in your heart and therefore transform your life? Now, sandwiched between Jesus' teaching and the explanation of the parable, Jesus answers this question that the disciples ask in verse 10. Jesus, why do you teach in parables? Now, some people often ask this of me. Why doesn't Jesus speak clearly? Why don't you just tell them straight up? Why does he teach parables and riddles when he's talking about the kingdom of heaven? Well, this section is really helpful for us in understanding why Jesus uses parables. And it's pretty confronting why he does speak in parables. Let's have a look at these verses now together. The short answer to this question from the disciples is there in verse 11, that the parables are spoken by Jesus in order to divide people between those who have ears to hear and those who have heart of heart. See that in verse 11? The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, you disciples, but not to them, those in the crowd who didn't come to Jesus and seek understanding. And then he goes on to quote from the Old Testament prophet Isaiah. Let's have a look at these verses 13 and onwards. Though seeing, they did not see. Though hearing, they did not hear or understand. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You'll be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts in turn, and I would heal them. In Isaiah 6, God sends the prophet Isaiah out to the people of Israel to proclaim the message of God to the people, the people who have already rejected God, who are hard-hearted towards God, and the preaching of Isaiah to the people was in effect to confirm their unbelief. The preaching of Isaiah had the effect of hardening the people's hearts, and it confirmed that their judgment was deserved. And the implication of what Jesus is saying here is that his teaching and preaching about the kingdom is not just in terms of bringing salvation and entering into the kingdom, but it's also in terms of judgment. As he proclaims the gospel and people respond differently, it confirms that they deserve their judgment for their unbelief. And so the parables are not some cutesy stories that are told by Jesus that are meant to give a simple understanding, that everyone's meant to understand what Jesus is saying. No, the parables are taught by Jesus in order to divide his hearers into those who have ears to hear and those who don't. So in effect, the parables are veiled stories meant to obscure those who are hard-hearted, unwilling to persist in faith, and caught up in the worries of life. And to these people, like the listening crowd, the many people on the banks of the lake there, to these people, the parables, they're just bland, shallow stories that just pass over their head. The message is meaningless to them. And they fail to respond to Jesus' words, and therefore their judgment is confirmed and their unbelief is confirmed. But on the other hand, those with faith, those who come to Jesus, those who have ears to hear and come to seek understanding, well, Jesus reveals to them the truth, the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. In a sense, the parables are like automatic sliding doors. You know, the ones that you pass through when you go into a shopping centre or an office tower. If you stand at a distance, they don't open. But if you walk up close, the doors open. And that's what Jesus is doing with the parables. You stand back at a distance, you don't understand. You don't come to Jesus and seek understanding, you won't know the secrets of the kingdom. Come to Jesus with ears to hear. Seek understanding. And he reveals to you the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. And so, friends, as we look at the parable of the sower, we see that the seed is scattered on all different types of soil. It's indiscriminate where the word of God gets scattered. It goes out to those who are given understanding and those who aren't, don't have understanding. Because the method for growing the kingdom of heaven is through the widespread scattering of the word. And that we can see that happening here in chapter 13 with Jesus. He's there on the lake. A massive crowd is so big that he had to get out in a boat to teach them all. He's scattering the seed broadly to everyone. He appeals to everyone. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. He appeals to the whole crowd. But then in verse 10, it's only the disciples who come to seek understanding. That's not just the 12, by the way. That's a broader group of disciples. They're the ones who come and seek understanding. But the word was scattered to everyone. And if we were to go back through Matthew's gospel, we'd see that this is how Jesus operates. He broadcasts the word of God to all people. Broadly, to vast crowds, appealing to them all the time. So, for instance, back in chapter 4, verse 23, Jesus went throughout all Galilee, teaching and proclaiming. Chapter 9, verse 35, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. Chapter 11, verse 1, back at the start of our series, he went from there to teach in the towns of Galilee. Jesus taught about the kingdom far and wide to all types of people, yet only some received it. Only some were given understanding. Only some were good soil. But this is how the kingdom grows, through the widespread scattering of the word that generates different responses. And so as the disciples come to Jesus and they ask, Jesus, why are you teaching parables? Jesus is able to explain to them that just as he faced different responses to the teaching and proclaiming of the kingdom as he scattered the seeds of the gospel, so they are going to face different responses as they go out proclaiming the gospel message themselves. And friends, for you and I, as ones who have had the baton handed on to us, then we're going to, as we go out sowing the seed, scattering the seed of the gospel, then that's what we're going to face too. Different responses as we scatter the seed of the gospel widely. And so friends, you and I can be assured that this is how the kingdom grows. Widespread scattering, different responses, but still extraordinary growth. That's how the kingdom grows. So as you and I get on with the mission here at Church of the Peak of living to be and make disciples of Jesus, then we ought to expect that as we scatter the word broadly and widely, then we're going to expect to have different responses to that. And while it'll be disappointing when you do share your faith with someone and they don't respond positively, where they reject it, or they get excited and then fall away, or they allow the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth to choke their faith, while that is disappointing, friends, it won't be surprising. The parable of the sower helps set our expectations. You know, this will happen. This is the way God grows his kingdom. So when the gospel is rejected, then don't lose heart, because it's not dependent on your skills or your knowledge or your personality or your persuasiveness. The gospel will always generate different responses. But on the other hand, you should expect that it will generate a positive response. As you scatter the word of God widely, there will be people who accept it. You will scatter the gospel on good soil and it will produce a crop 30, 60, 100 fold. And so, friends, what that means, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, living to be and make disciples of Jesus, and that's what we're on about here at Church of the Peak, living to be and make disciples, then part of that means you are now the sower. You're the one scattering the word among the people and the community that God has placed you in. He's put you in a field. He's giving you a patch of ground to scatter the seed. And so you go out proclaiming the gospel widely, and just like Jesus did, scatter it without discrimination to all those places, all the fields that God puts you in. And as you scatter the seed of the gospel, yes, there'll be different responses, but that's how the kingdom grows. Because there will be good soil, and it will produce an abundant crop. And you won't know whether you share it on rocky soil, weedy soil, good soil, or the hard path. But as you do proclaim the good news of Jesus, God will ensure the gospel continues to grow abundantly and produce fruit in the lives of those who have ears to hear. So friends, keep praying, keep sowing, keep proclaiming Christ boldly, and as you do, God's kingdom will grow.